And a very pleasant
Sunday. Radio.
Very pleasant Sunday to you, coming from our premier broadcast, the Race Trim Motorsports Hour, part of our brand new, just launched Frat House Sports Radio Network, one of several programs we are starting up brand new with our third year of Frat House Sports. Now today I'm going to be talking primarily motorsports of all sorts. You like that NASCAR stuff? When I say NHRA, do you know what I'm talking about? How about some Supermoto? Yeah, well, if it runs and burns and does turns, we're going to talk about it. Today I'm going to be joined by a co-host and our technical director, Brandon, and he will be joining me momentarily.
Right now.
All right. Good morning. Good Sunday
good morning
to you, Brandon. How are you?
Good. How are you doing today?
I am good. I am good. We're going to work our way through some, well, I guess initially some NASCAR chat on this Sunday morning.
Yeah, sounds good.
Today, of course, we begin a playoff format of what we've come to know as the Chase. Very interesting change up this year, Brandon, you'll agree, in the Chase format, because rather than, as it had been over the past years, simply a 10-race, literally, chase, what we're going to have now is more or less rounds of knockout. We're going to start with 16 drivers, up from 12, which had been the norm. We're now up to 16, and we're going to eliminate through rounds of knocking out drivers from 16 to 12 to 8 and down to ultimately 4, and that'll be over the next 10 races. What I thought we could do, maybe, I don't know, Brandon, I'm going to throw out some teams and I'm going to throw out some names of the 16 drivers, and you tell me if there's anything that you really didn't expect from our list, because quite frankly, the heavy hitters are making the chase this year. All of the Hendrick Motorsport drivers, one of which is your favorite, Dale Jr.,
yep,
are going to be making the chase, right? Dale Jr.'s in it. Gordon is in it. Jimmy Johnson, of course. And most recently, Casey Kane has finally made
his
way. Yeah, buddy. Just maybe 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken, he got his berth into the chase. So all of those Hendrick Motorsport drivers are in there, and a lot of them are fan favorites, no doubt. Now, if we flip it over, Frat House Mike has a favorite with the Joe Gibbs racing team, and that, of course, would be Kyle Busch, and he got in relatively early, as did teammate Denny Hamlin. Interestingly, the third of that complete team is in the chase. He's in the hunt. However, he made it only on points, and that would be, of course, Matt Kenseth. Interesting Matt Kenseth, right? Always the bridesmaid, never the bride this year.
Well,
right?
He's been the most consistent, you know, points getter short of, you know, race winners this year. In other words, of all the non-race winners, he's had the most. He clearly had the most. He was way out in front. He actually had that spot clinched a week before the end. So, I mean, yeah, he hasn't won, but he certainly had a pretty consistent year, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we're going to Chicagoland, of course, today, and we'll get into that a little bit more in detail. But Kenseth is the champion, right, a year ago. So he's coming into Chicagoland looking to, I guess, repeat his performance from 1 year ago. And, boy, what a great way for him to start, considering he did, as you say, despite being the most consistent driver all year, he has not had a win yet. We're going to take another big team, obviously the Stewart Haas team, a dynamo, a powerhouse team of four very competent drivers. Some would say only three, but I'm not going to throw snot on our premier broadcast. But of those four, Kurt Busch, he obviously secured his chase position with a win. Kevin Harvick had done it a couple of times himself. Now on the outside looking in, the boss, Tony Stewart, and, of course, the fourth driver, Danica Patrick, They will not be in the chase, although, of course, they will figure into the races as we go forward.
It's interesting. If you look at their alliance, they're very closely aligned with Hendrick. You could almost say there's six powerhouse Hendrick cars
right
out there with you if you combine them. And that's pretty impressive if you look at it. The only two who didn't make it were obviously Stewart himself, who had his own issues throughout the year, as we all know. And Danica, who was starting to come on a little bit at the end, she did get a top 10, and she was running better. She's not, wrecking as many race cars, so who knows? We'll see down the road for her next year.
Yeah, precisely right. Now, of course, the Ford team in Penske, it's a two-car operation, and some would argue they are too tough to handle. Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, dominating, right? I mean, that would be a good way to put it, right? I happen to be fantasy player. You are as well, Brandon. How often have we placed one or both of these drivers on our roster in any given week and really not come away terribly disappointed if we did so?
True. I've had Keselowski on my main team most of the year, and Logano was on my other team from time to time. And you're right, going into it, they got to be the best team going into it as far as dominance for the year. And I'm sure combined wins, I mean, Hendrick may have more because they have more drivers, but other than that, the two Fords are impressive. And they're head and shoulders above the other two Fords, the two Roush Fords in here. The other two are, they barely got in. Well, Biffle barely got in, and Carl Edwards has looked okay at times, but, where's his head at? He's going to Gibbs next year.
Right, precisely right. I mean, he does have an alliance, obviously, for the last 10 races to the Blue Oval, and, of course, we can assume he's going to give everything he's got. But you're right, touching on the Roush Fenway team, Edwards, you mentioned, Biffle just made it in on points. And minus out of that was the third driver of mention would be Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And of course he did not. He failed to make it. Now looking over team number six, Richard Childress Racing. They will have representation obviously in Ryan Newman. Not unlike Biffle.
Number 16.
Or Roush. He just made it in. I mean, what did he catch it by a fingernail? To go forward. Rookie Austin Dillon had a pretty good run for Richard Childress, as did Paul Menard. Paul Menard was one of those wild card drivers I still wouldn't count out during this chase to make some noise, although, of course, he's not contending for the championship.
Yeah, that's true. He could. There could be some non-chase guys winning races.
Right.
But I think this year the odds are, with being 16, the odds are pretty slim. But there is the odd, Paul Menard, maybe Dillon. Mm-hmm. Your guy Carl Larson is like right there too. He's running up front all the time. He might sneak one in.
Right.
It's a shame that Canassi Racing has Kyle Larson and McMurray. They have run pretty good throughout the year, and neither one of them made it. And that's kind of a shame. But hopefully they can step up a little bit for next year.
Yeah, that would be good. I agree. The last two that we're going to mention, because we've just covered essentially, 14 of the 16 drivers. The last two that we could toss out there, obviously, Richard Petty Motorsports found Aric Almirola finally in a win. Some would say it was something of a, not tarnished, but less than stellar win in what became essentially a race event that was called for rain, and he was the leader at the time. So Richard Petty at least sports Aric Almirola in the chase going in. And the other sort of dark horse team, it's actually a one-car team, and I give him a lot of credit, is JTG Docherty. And A.J. Allmendinger won it in what I think was I thought it was one of the most exciting races that we had all year, and that was at Watkins Glen going back perhaps, was it three or four races ago?
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you. That was one of the best races of the year. You had two guys with Almendinger and,
Marcus
number Ambrose.
Marcus Ambrose.
Put my
right.
mind. Who just That's announced right. he's going back to Australia for racing next year.
Yeah, right.
They put on a show that was impressive and very easily could have been either one of them for a while. Allmendinger held on, kept the front spot, and then slowly started to, you know, sneak away. I think the other guy, Ambrose, might have used his tires a little too much trying to catch him. But one thing I will say on Allmendinger, he is kind of the same deal, well, not maybe as closely affiliated as Stuart Haas is to Hendrick, but they are affiliated to RCR, so they do have a little technology, you know, big team technology behind them mm-hmm. they can draw from. I don't know mm-hmm. how much they get, but they do get engines, chassis, you know, and some support from RCR. So, you know, they're a little team, you're right, but, you know, they do have a little bit of backing, as most of the little teams do. Most of the little teams are loosely affiliated with somebody just because they couldn't survive otherwise.
Right, precisely. I absolutely agree. And, you know, arguably, you we're going to see the Gibbs team, for instance, expand from Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth. There, as you had mentioned earlier, Carl Edwards is going to join that Gibbs team. That'll be a four-team powerhouse. Hendrick is a four-team powerhouse. Stuart Haas is a four-team powerhouse. And there is some argument to be made that while they do have unquestionably some of the best resources available, it's very difficult to maintain four quality drivers throughout the length of a NASCAR season, which is very, very long, as we know.
Not only that, it's four quality crews. I mean, look at Stuart Haas. They're
right.
swapping crews from Harvick
yes.
to Stewart.
Right, right.
Because Kevin Harvick's team was consistently behind a second or two on every pit stop, and the 14 team, you know, it's a proven championship team. They won it before. You know, they put in consistently better times. So we'll see if it helps Harvick coming off the pit road during the chase for sure. We'll see today.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Harvick does not shy away from
speaking
his mind.
No. I think that's why a lot of people love Harvick. He ain't pulling any punches. If he's not happy about something, he's going to let you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some call him a crybaby or what have you, but I guess, you know, that can be shared around to all
I will
different
say with
drivers.
Harvick,
everybody complains.
When Harvick talks, though, Harvick's pretty good at being right. In other words, like, if he's pushing the blame off of him to a different area of the car or the crew, he's usually pretty right. Mm-hmm. I will say that. But he has done some bonehead things on the track that caused his own calamities, a lot like other guys have, so, over the years. But Kevin Harvick's a very smart race car driver. I think that's why him and Tony Stewart are friends and are now teammates. Stewart understands the wealth of knowledge in the seat, whereas you can hear it when they talk to their crew sometimes. Somebody like Harvick but Joey Logano. Joey Logano does not come off to me as a guy who, you know, knows the ins and outs of the car and can explain to the crew chief what it's doing properly. I think that's where a guy like Logano or even his teammate Keselowski seems like he's more in tune with the car than others. So I think that's what I'm talking to when I'm talking about smart drivers. And
I think
Harvick is one of the smartest. So I'm looking for him to do a lot in this chase, to be honest with you.
I have to agree with you. And I actually, you know, started really following him, I guess, last year. I'm relatively new to NASCAR as compared to yourself, because – and that's why it's great to have you as my co-pilot here, because you actually know a great deal more and a lot more of the history. But last year when he was running the 29 with Childress, he always seemed to just produce compelling results, even if he didn't win. And, you know, he's gone, as you say now, to Stuart Haas, and I think it's just been kismet between that team and himself, because had he not been there possibly, you know, had everything else played out the same, you know, Kurt Busch might be the only representation of the Stuart Haas brand this year, if in fact everything had occurred with Stuart, which would have prevented him, and if Danica, you know, as she did this year, was not able to contend for the post-race championship, the post-season championship. Now, you mentioned Marcus Ambrose, and you're right, evidently there's some chatter, he'll be going back to V8 Supercars, back to his home in Australia. We saw Juan Pablo Montoya do the same thing. Now, Juan Pablo did return a couple of times And he filled in for the Penske team as a third driver in a couple of occasions on road courses here in the NASCAR circuit. So I'm not sure if we're going to see that. I think once Ambrose returns to Tasmania, he's probably going to stay there. But there is some word possibly that he might be able to join up with Penske over there.
I think they were already asking him that yesterday, and he's already just trying to get settled in with the new gig. And I'm pretty sure you'll see Marcus Ambrose around. Marcus Ambrose, he's not a bad driver. He just didn't hit on the right chemistry. But somebody, even a Roush team that only has three cars or somebody else wants to put a special car out there, for Ambrose to run, he could put on a show, that's for sure.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely. Yep.
I'm not sure who's going to fill that seat, but, I don't know that there's a better guy out there than what they're getting rid of, unfortunately, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, there's going to be some thinking they'll have to do, I guess, at Richard Petty Motorsports, Yeah, right. It's early. We could speculate.
I hope they at least have an idea what they want to do before they let, Marcus Ambrose go. They better have an idea who they want to put in that seat. In my opinion, you don't let a guy like that go without having some idea of what's going to fill him.
Yeah, and there are some names out there. I mean, you wonder if one of the current rookie class will swap out, or if, maybe is there room for another female driver, a Jennifer Jo Cobb, someone of that nature? You kind of wonder. I mean,
haven't heard any suggestions for that ride yet, because the rumor mill for that was pretty quiet. I think a lot of people assumed that they were just going to stay the way they were for another year, but obviously they're not. So we'll have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'll tell you what let's do real quick. Let's run down a little bit of the order of how we're going to go through this 10 races of championship, which commenced today in Chicagoland. We're going to have essentially 16 drivers that we've mentioned entering the challenger phase. They will then compete in races number 10 at Chicagoland, 9 at New Hampshire, 8 at Dover. Then we're going to whack the field by 4. At that point, you have 12 running in the contender segment through races in Kansas, Charlotte, and the big mother, Talladega.
That'll be fun.
Oh, that should be just wild. At which point, then, the 12 go to 8. Going to clean up then the eliminator round, Martinsville, Texas, Phoenix, and of course we will then be looking at 4 drivers on equal footing at the Homestead Miami finale. And that's going to be
all the way down to the end. I love the elimination factor, and a win automatically puts you in the next round. I'm not so sure I like the last championship being decided by 4 guys at one race.
No.
I wish they would have.
Why is that? How would you prefer it?
Well, I mean, if you're going to stick to 10, maybe go the last 2 rounds be 2 races each or something. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure I like, a 36 round, season coming down to 4 guys in one track. Because, all it takes is being in the wrong place at the wrong time, a flat tire, an engine blow up. You have so many things at one race to determine a championship seems a little. I don't know. We'll see. Also, we'll see how it plays out. This is the first year they're trying it this way, so
right.
I love the countdown series. It's very similar to what NHRA has been doing in their playoff format. They have a similar thing where they start out with so many, and as the rounds go, they cut down, and then they get down to the last couple. And it's interesting. It adds another element of compelling, who's going to make it to the next round kind of deal.
Right, got a bit of drama.
I'm just not so sure about the one race to end it, though. But we'll see. I'm not going to trash NASCAR too much till I see the way it plays out.
Right.
But, I don't think you could really do it. The only other way to do it is have the last 2 be 2 race each. I don't know if that's good or not good either. Because then you got, 8 guys with 4 races left. And you still have 8 guys with 4 races left. So, I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm looking forward to it, though. I'm not going to. I'm not soured on it or down on it. I mean, you definitely are going to have four guys going out there. You could have multiple teams. involved. I hope you have multiple teams involved. You know, we'll see how they all work together to get their guy to, you know, the victory lane. That'll be, you know, the interesting part anyway.
Yeah. Now, of course, points are still going to matter because they're going to reset the points with each after each series of three races. So essentially, one win in the challenger round will automatically give you a berth into the next round contender. Win at that level, you get automatic entry to eliminator and so forth. But at the same point, at the same time, rather, points will matter. So essentially, if you win the right race at the right time, you can proceed, and I believe mathematically, just based on points, you could proceed from round to round without necessarily winning a race until perhaps Homestead, Miami.
Well, it's going to happen. You could, in theory, you could probably get through this whole thing without winning a race.
Correct.
But, you know,
seems a little far-fetched, and I don't think NASCAR would be terribly happy with that result because obviously we want to see winners. We'd like to see different winners to keep it interesting. I don't know if you have all the – you perhaps don't have all 16 names before you. We could speculate about who – oh, okay. Any speculation on who you see not advancing? Let's go to the negative side of it rather than who do you want to see advance. Who do you really think is not going to advance from the first three?
Looking at the list, the ones that jump out at me is Greg Biffle. He's only good on certain tracks. And
right.
That whole Roush team has not been what it used to be. The same with Ryan Newman. I mean, Ryan Newman is not – I mean, he's been there, and he's not wrecked many race cars. That's why he had the points. But their team overall never seemed to have gelled. Obviously, I'm picking on the bottom two here. But I'll move up a little bit up the list. Kurt Busch has not been impressive in the recent series of races. Their team has run. He has run up front at times. But the finishes haven't been there. So if they don't kind of get that fixed, Kurt Busch may be in trouble. The first round, obviously, it's only three races, and it's going to be a lot like the chase was at the beginning of the year. I have a feeling whoever's been sitting in victory lane in Chicago is going to be like, oh, wow, that's a huge load off my mind. Now I got two more races to test, essentially, because you're guaranteed to advance.
Well, you're right. So, you essentially could have two, what would we say? In football, we would call it two bye weeks, because if you get the first week, victory. You can run. Right. You can run. You can play with the setup. You can play with the car a bit.
And I think you're going to see a lot of that continue. I mean, you know, as Sidekick pointed out on Frat House Sports Show repeatedly, they haven't, Jimmy Johnson, you know, Mr. Six Time, has been playing around for the last, you know, half a dozen weeks or so with stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've been pushing the limits of the camber on the car to the point where the tires are blowing. And, you know, they've been doing all kinds of, you know, what you would call testing during the season, which I'm not sure NASCAR would be totally thrilled with. But, you know, I have a feeling you're going to see 48 car come out today and be more like what you expect from that team. You know, a front runner and, you know, annoying most of TV time being up in the front. I'm sure they're still capable of it.
You're probably right, and we'll point out, too, that this is a track, and there aren't many, but this is a track that Jimmy Johnson has not won at. Sort of, once again, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. He has run second place consistently with relative consistency here in Chicagoland, but he has not won it. So I tend to agree with you. It's do or die. Eric Almirola, interestingly, said yesterday that, in fact, through the first round, they're going to his team, Richard Petty. He and his crew chief are looking to try to establish a point system where if he could get himself a top 12, a top 13, a top 14 finish, ideally through the first three races of this first knockout round, he could essentially move forward without winning. Austin Dillon, Richard Childress, rookie of the year, who is not in it, kind of had a similar argument. That being, listen, in the first round, you're not looking to beat the field. You're just looking to beat the four least drivers you know, from 12, counting backwards, maybe from 12 to 16. So that's an interesting take. And, of course, now, you know, JTG Docherty, A.J. Almirola, A.J. Allmendinger, great road course runner. Do you see him as possibly a fourth? Because you had mentioned three drivers. Do you see him as a fourth driver, maybe not making it through the first round?
Honestly, you know what? I kind of think he's going to make it, only because Almendinger's, he's not really known for a lot of wrecks. He's good at hanging around, and he does get a lot of the good mid-pack finishes. I think he'll make the first set. You're going to see one of the bigger teams, from somebody from the bigger team. Somebody today is going to have a problem with their car or be in an accident and have a really bad finish. And it's going to be real tough for that team to recover. So it's real critical moving, you know, from the first week on. You get, like, as, you know, Amarola's team suggests, you know, if you can put together the mid-pack finishes, you should be able to advance, because, you know, historically it's proven that, you know, somebody's going to have a problem. One of these big teams at the top is going to have a problem, and it could hurt their chances. It's going to put, let's just say, for example, Kyle Busch, he's been having lots of problems lately. It's going to say he has a problem, hits the wall, finishes in the back. Well, you know what their goal is for the next two races, and that's to win, because that's going to be the only way they're going to move to the next round.
Correct.
So it's going to be that's going to add some intrigue when you see, you know, like a race today, if somebody like that, or a Keselowski, or a Harvick even, who's, you know, they've all, you know, these are the guys who've been up front all year, have a problem race one, boy, you're going to see them pull out every stop they can to get a win for the following week.
Right, I follow you, which makes essentially race number 8 at Dover, race number 5 at Talladega, race number 2 at Phoenix. Those are going to be, I mean, you want to talk about increasing pressure and increasing drama.
Because
you're right, if you have a very high-profile driver and they are finally counting themselves out of the first two races of each three in this elimination process, boy, does that ramp up the pressure.
You bet it does. It's almost going to be – we kind of had that feel, like we alluded to earlier with the road course race between A.J. Allmendinger and Marcus Ambrose. You kind of had it sitting here as a fan watching that race. That was do or die for those both those two drivers. Because you knew whichever one won was going to make it, and the other one was going to probably be on the outside looking in. Right. And that's the kind of – that could set up that kind of drama, you know, at each level of this elimination, where, you know, you kind of got to, you know, this might be, you know, two drivers' last choice, and they're up front and running for the win. Boy, that could make some interesting racing if it plays out right.
Yeah,
I
agree with you, and I'm really looking forward, like yourself, to this new format, and I'm going to be curious to see how it plays out. I mean, there's going to be hopefully some hard racing, but obviously they've got to temper it, and they've got to be cautious, as you say, because a mistimed wreck, a poor execution at a given track could spell doom, and you could be out. Now, we're talking, obviously, track types for the, you know, success of some of these drivers. I'm looking at the 10 track types coming up through this chase, and they haven't really changed over the years, primarily intermediate tracks of a mile or a mile and a half. Today we begin the mile and a half intermediate track at Chicago. Next week, New Hampshire's intermediate, Dover, intermediate, Kansas intermediate, Charlotte intermediate. Race 6, we're going to throw the monkey wrench in, as we do every year with the chase, and we're going to have Talladega. That's going to be a super speedway.
Right.
Martinsville, you go from race 6 at Talladega, the monster, 2.66 mile,
biggest track, right?
To the tiniest, right? We go to Martinsville, which is going to be a half-mile short track for the 7th race. And then Texas, Phoenix, once again, intermediate, even Homestead, Miami, intermediate. Let me ask you this. We do race road courses during the year, and, of course, Fontana occurs earlier in the NASCAR season and closer to the end, we've mentioned it, would be Watkins Glen, and that outstanding finish, very long with delays, but outstanding finish between Allmendinger and Marcus Ambrose. Is NASCAR missing out, in your opinion, Brandon?
Yes.
Should road courses be part of it?
I think they should. I think they're missing the boat, and I think there's a real easy way to solve this. You move Watkins Glen a few races, you know, which we said just was a few races ago. Move it into the Chase. Watkins Glen always puts on a good show for the fans. And they could very simply add, and they won't do this because of where it's located, but Road America put on really good shows with Nationwide the last couple
of
years.
And Frat House Mike loves
that track. Race up in there, midsummer, and you'll have two road courses in regular season and Watkins Glen in the middle, in the beginning of the Chase. You know, make it the first or second race of the Chase. You know, whatever, because I realize it's in northern New York. They may be worried about weather getting a little chilly. So make it, you know, one of the first two or three. And, you know, you go from there. I think that would be a perfect solution. Unfortunately, Road America, which is a great facility, is in the middle of nowhere. It's an hour outside of Green Bay, which isn't the biggest city. And it's, you know, it's in Wisconsin with nothing around it. Unfortunately, that's not the kind of track NASCAR is looking for. NASCAR wants, you know, big areas with lots of people that can flock to the track, and so honestly, I don't see that ever getting past being a Nationwide. It would be nice, but I don't think they can move Watkins Glen into the Chase with there only being one other race in a regular season. I think you'd have to have three. You'd have to have two road courses in the front and one in the Chase to make it balanced.
Right.
And I just don't see them doing that. There's not a facility that, you know, it seems that they're willing to go to that would do that. You know, I'd love to see it, but I don't know. I just don't see it happening at this moment in time. I mean, you could maybe go back to one of the other road courses a second time, but I don't see that happening either. They're trying to tend to get away from the two track, you know, the two races at one track in a season. So I would love to see it. I just don't know that it's high on their agenda either at the moment.
No, Yeah, I hear you, and I absolutely agree. I would love to see a road course as part of it. I really enjoy the road courses myself, and it does allow for certain driver types to kind of rise up. And, of course, it does allow for, you know, somebody like Penske, as they had done this year, to bring in a Juan Pablo Montoya, who's a very experienced road course driver over in the Super V8 Super car series in Australia.
My fault.
That's right. He's IndyCar.
Yeah,
but it allows them to. Right. It allows them to come in, and I just think the races take on a totally different complexion.
Yep.
You're correct. It was just a couple of weeks ago, when Brian France announced the new 2015 season schedule. There were some changes for next year's schedule, some that hopefully are going to please a little bit of every race fan. We're going to see some changes, obviously, to Darlington, Bristol.
I love that change.
Right. We're going to see, finally, Darlington go back to its original. That was a Labor Day weekend date
for a long time, many years.
And, of course, right, and then it's slowly gotten sort of kicked to the curb. What they're going to do also is include, and again, you know, I mentioned Frat House Mike because he is a very big NASCAR follower himself. He had said earlier this year, when it seemed the first six races or so of the current NASCAR season were decimated by weather. There were weather events. We had the first night race was really a day race, which was delayed until the following night. I mean, it got crazy with the weather. They are going to add what they call a big West Coast swing during the early stages next year of the NASCAR circuit to try and help alleviate some of that.
I'll be curious.
Good idea, right? Good idea. Somebody's doing some thinking.
Well, I'm curious if they're going to send their transporters out there and leave them out there, and you know, because most of those car haulers, they can only haul two cars. You know, and they have the series of races. I mean, it goes from Las Vegas to Phoenix to Auto Club. You got different tracks in there. You got Las Vegas and Auto Club are kind of similar, but Phoenix is flat. And Phoenix they're probably going to have a different car. So think about that. They take two cars out there, one for each track. Well, then what if one of them wrecks?
What do you
then
do for a backup?
Then they got a problem. Right, exactly.
What
so
do
I don't
do
know.
Backup? It's gonna be
I don't
trouble.
Know if it's going to. the bigger teams may be able to deal with it, you know, because they have, you know, four cars with eight, you know, two each would be eight cars per. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see how the teams handle that. Some of the smaller teams may benefit and like it. I would imagine.
Once again,
save them some money.
I mean, that's the thing. Sponsorship, dollars, so much of that goes into performing at this level. But, of course, it goes to performing at virtually every level. So what I wanted to do, we've chatted up some NASCAR, and obviously we encourage everybody to tune in this afternoon at 2 o'clock if you are a gearhead like we are. But if I could switch gears here, maybe from eight cylinders to four-stroke, Brandon, you shared an interesting article. That might offer, I guess, increased viability, hopefully increased visibility to a relatively unknown in America supermoto road racing series. Maybe you could shed some light on that for us. Who's in sponsoring? Who's out of sponsoring? Essentially, what's going to be a brand new professional road racing series. Is that right?
Well, actually what it is it's a sanctioning. In other words, we're talking about AMA Pro Road Racing, which is, you know, consists of 600 CC sport bikes, which is the Daytona Sport Bike Series, and a super bike, which is 1,000 CC road bikes. And
Wow.
They've been run by the last several years by a company affiliated with NASCAR.
Okay.
It was Daytona Group Motors or Daytona Motorsports Group. They've not done a great job promoting. They've taken a series that had 12 events. And when I say an event for this, it's a two-day thing. You get a race Saturday and a race Sunday for each series. And basically you had upwards of 24 races in a season and brought it down to a whopping 11 this year. There was six weekends, five doubleheaders, and one single race. And it just so happens it's concluding this weekend at New Jersey Motorsports Park in Millville, New Jersey, not too far from here. And yesterday we crowned champions in all the series, so today they're racing for fun. But yesterday they had to deal with a lot of bad weather. They raced in the rain. Josh Hayes became a four-time AMA Superbike champion. Jake Gagne won his first Daytona Sport Bike Championship. Didn't win the race. Interesting race in Superbike. Everybody thought Josh Hayes won with a last lap pass. 3 hours and 10 minutes after the race was over, officials penalized Josh 20 seconds for making a pass with a waving yellow flag in a corner. And the second place runner, Roger Hayden, ended up with the victory. So it was a little weird, but, you know, it's probably correct. I haven't seen footage of the race yet. Unfortunately, Daytona Motorsports Group did such a good job. They promoted the track into oblivion on television. They have no TV series this year. They were always, on Speed Network for many, many years.
Right, which is defunct, right?
It's now Fox Sports 1, so they don't do as much motorsports. But there's other channels out there already. CBS Sports Network gave them a try last year, and they did a good job with it. And I think what happened was, again, there was – I don't know if Daytona Motorsports Group was bringing enough to the table for the networks. You know, they have big series sponsors. They have Geico Insurance. They had National Guard sponsored the sport bike or the super bike series. GoPro sponsors the sport bike series. They have big sponsors, and I don't know if they were packaging it right with the televisions or what, but they could never make it stick. Well, now we have a new group called Moto America. They're going to be promoting the series next year. It's being headed by an ex-world champion, Wayne Rainey.
International connection as well, right? I mean, this sport is big, right, internationally, even though we don't
They get crowds similar to NASCAR or Formula One for MotoGP racing. Those drivers, top drivers in the MotoGP class, make $20+ million a year.
Outstanding!
It's absolutely insanity. Big time sponsors. I mean, you have world stage, and they have the World Superbike Series, which is a notch down, has no problem filling the stands either here in America because of promotion issues, and for whatever reason, it's not really ever caught on quite as good, but it's I think the audience is out there, at least to bring it back to where it used to be. And I'm hoping this group, you know, they have backing of FIM, which is the world sanctioning body
that
is involved with MotoGP and World Superbike. So I think you're going to see some things happen that'll make the American Superbike Series way more appealing. They're going to incorporate some of the rules to make them similar to World Superbike. And a lot of the things they've done have worked at the world level, so I'm sure it'll work in here given the right time. There's a lot of the right people who are doing this, you know, that are sponsoring this or promoting this now. So I don't know if Daytona Motorsports Group was really committed to it. These guys are. So I think that's going to help bring this series back to where it could be.
Where it should be, right.
Where it should be, right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure their first concern is going to be, you know, getting more events on the calendar, you know, getting some sponsors lined up and getting a TV deal. I mean, that's the key. I mean, there was three races held this year out in West Coast because AMA, or, well, I guess you got to, I can't say AMA, you got to say Daytona Motorsports Group, didn't bother to promote properly or keep a long-standing race out at the Sonoma Raceway where NASCAR goes. Fontana, California, the oval has a road course within the middle of the track, and it goes up onto the NASCAR oval at times and back down.
Very cool.
And
very cool.
There's a beautiful, beautiful world-class track in Utah called Miller Motorsports Park that hosts World Superbike and has hosted MotoGP races throughout the years that AMA was always going to, and they did not have an event there this year either. So a few, you know, higher guys in the sport, one who publishes a magazine, put together a three-race series at the three tracks that actually got put on MAV TV. So, you know, a lot of these guys are working together, and they can prove that, you know, there's a market for it. They just got to be promoted and put and presented correctly to TV and to the tracks. And I'm hoping that, you know, you add those three weekends to the five or the six they had, that puts you at nine. And if they're all double races, you know, that's giving you 18 races. So, you know, they're getting back to where they need to be just there. And there's other tracks out there. There's a beautiful track in New Orleans called NOLA. It's New Orleans Motorsports Park that AMA was at several years ago. There's Road Atlanta. And there's also a track in Virginia called Virginia International that hosted AMA in the past. So there's a lot of venues out there they could go to get more dates. And they will. And I think you'll see it. And if we get, you know, you add all those, let's just say the six tracks, the three that did have a race, and then these other three I just mentioned to the existing series, then you're back up to a 12 weekend, you know, 24 race package that's, you know, looking pretty good.
Wow,
so
outstanding!
It's out
and of course,
to be had.
You're not only a fan, but you ride yourself. Certainly not at this level. I'm not saying that.
I ride a supermoto. It's a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Tremendous speeds.
Yeah, I love going. I love watching. I love riding. When I do ride, I don't ride it anywhere near their level, but it's more of a, you know, a club track day kind of feeling where you just get to go and put your gear on and go fast without worrying about traffic.
Exactly right. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a quick time out. We have run through quite a bit of our show this morning. I'd never put out the phone number. And, that's my bad.
I didn't think of it either.
Yeah, folks, you are tuned into the Racetram Motorsports Hour. This is part of our premier broadcast of the brand new Frat House Sports Radio Network. If you would like to climb in, the number to reach us, 347-826-9964. Let's say it again, 347-826-9964. That puts you in touch with us if you care to try to reach out to us before our hour is concluded today. We will be back with you every Sunday from 11 a.m. until noon live. Keep that number in mind if you are listening to us in an archive, because, of course, we will rebroadcast this through the course of the week. You will be able to reach us at that number next week live between 11 and noon, 347-826-9964. Okay,
also,
Brandon, there is, yes.
Hey, wait, there is, yes, another way. If they're listening on the Internet, which this is Internet radio, there's a little,
right,
Skype button up there next to the phone. You can,
mm-hmm,
hit that and connect to us via Skype.
There you go.
So you can do it either way. And you can,
awesome,
if you have any questions or comments about anything we've talked about so far, you know, we're more than happy to, you know, talk to you. We had a lot of information so far, and I think we're doing pretty good here for our first show.
Yeah, not too bad. I did want to throw one more, I guess. What do we got? Another sort of countdown to a championship, and, of course, that's NHRA, and that's another, the National Hot Rod Association. That's another sport that's near and dear to the hearts of those of us at Frat House Sports Radio Network and Frat House Sports in general, particularly yourself, Brandon, and Frat House Mike. And, of course, they're in their six event countdown to a championship in what really is four categories, right? Top fuel.
Well, they have
funny car. What did I miss? Pro stock.
Pro stock car and pro stock motorcycle
are
the top four professional categories.
Right. Interestingly, of course, the name that kind of jumps out to me, because again, I'm sort of a novice. I follow some NHRA and I'm continuing to learn in the sport, but the name that jumps out at me obviously is John Force. And he's currently going into their countdown. He's currently in the number one position for the funny car division. He is, am I correct, Brandon, 6-time winner?
16-time. Champion.
16. Oh, pardon me. See, holy crow. How far off could I be?
he is a what you would call, you know, one of the, like, a legend within you know, NHRA. He owns the record book for funny car class.
Right.
There's probably no major record he doesn't have at this point.
Okay.
Very, very well spoken. Gets very, you know, gets his sponsors lots of exposure, can talk like you can never imagine, to be honest with you. They're starting their countdown today in Charlotte, just like
in
NASCAR.
Charlotte. Right.
Yeah, and him, he has a three-car funny car team.
He's got a couple daughters, or is it three daughters? But at least
he has three daughters that have raced. One's kind of... you know, semi-retirement, as she's had a couple kids recently, but there's been talk Ashley Force Hood may be back at times. Brittany Force has become, you know, the face of the organization to a degree in the track is funny car. She's winning races, running good. She's also in the chase. And John Force's son-in-law, Robert Height, is also a multi-time champion who is another member of their team.
Mm-hmm.
And they're getting ready to kick off, like I said, today in Charlotte, and they're going to have you know, that'll be on ESPN2 today at some point, I'm sure. And
yeah.
Probably sometime this evening. I haven't checked the actual schedule yet as far as television goes, but because of the nature of the beast with drag racing, it's always done on a little time delay for TV. If they did it in real time, they'd need to have a 7-8 hour program, and they do it once in a while, but it doesn't prove real good for TV usually.
Right, I follow now. They're going to be knocking these off in consecutive weekends. As you say, they open in Charlotte. They're in process in Charlotte this weekend. They're heading out to Dallas, Texas for next weekend. Off to St. Louis, Missouri. Now, you know, there you go. You know, there's one for Sidekick. They're going to be out in his old stomping around St. Louis. Then they're actually in our backyard to our Frat House 2 location for the October 2nd through 5th weekend up in Maple Grove. You've been there. I think Frat House Mike has certainly been there. Is that right?
Yep, that is correct.
That's a great venue, right?
Maybe we'll find a way there this year. Who knows?
Yeah.
You will be so impressed if you attend a live NHRA race, Uncle Mark. You will not believe the horsepower, the sensation, the loud volume, the physically, you can feel the horsepower.
You feel the sound?
As they go by, you feel the sound. If
you
you're, if
feel
you,
the sound.
I can tell you a great story. I found myself helping a pro stock motorcycle team 1 year up at Maple Grove for qualifying, and they wanted me to hold the camera, and I was standing on the finish line. They were finishing up pro top fuel qualifying prior to the bikes going out, and I had never been at the starting line for a launch of the top fuel cars. It almost knocked me on my butt.
Really?
I was standing 12 feet or so behind the cars, and the horsepower and the vibration literally almost knocked me off my feet. I was so impressed. It was unbelievable.
So we're talking a concussion that occurs behind these cars because of the force. I mean, literally some of these are almost powerful enough that if they were standing upright, they would be rockets. Is that right,
yeah.
Brandon?
And they have compared the thrust of a top fuel funny car to the shuttle at times.
You've
done side-by-side comparisons. It's not quite there, but it's pretty close.
Oh,
two
that
of them,
blows my mind. That blows
them,
my
you're
mind.
Talking, you're probably talking about 20,000 raw horsepower between two of these cars. It's just insane.
Good golly. Yeah, that really is insane.
Even standing at the fence, you know, from the pit, you know, the sidelines, you know, where you can watch, you get the sensation, you get the feeling, you can feel the raw horsepower pounding off your chest. It's unbelievable.
Wow. I love it. I mean, when I was a youngster, you know, the way to feel the sound was to go to a concert. But, you know, as an oldster, I guess I'm probably going to turn into an NHRA fan for that same kind of feel, because, of course, I'm not hip. I'm old school now to rock and roll concerts or bebop or hip hop or whatever you call it.
right.
Nowadays, so if I want to feel the sound, I'm going to have to head out to Maple Grove. Okay, we've had a lot of fun. We've had some fun discussion. We've touched on some NASCAR. We touched on some NHRA that are in there kicking up for playoffs, their countdown. We are touching on Supermoto. You're going to keep us apprised as we go through that. What I thought we could do maybe is just revisit from our Thursday Frat House Sports Show Sidekick's picks, because, you know, he put together his picks for today's NASCAR race, which kicks up at 2:00 in Chicagoland.
Right.
And I thought I would share that with everybody who is, if you play the NASCAR fantasy. Our Sidekick offers picks every week on that NASCAR fantasy game. So I just thought I would throw out the names, and you could yourself, Brandon, if you have I disagree on his picks, you could certainly shout them out. But Sidekick's recommended roster for Chase Race number one in Chicagoland include Kevin Harvick at the top of the order, followed by, of course, Brad Keselowski, his third driver.
His back markers
include, because of course it is based on a particular, you know, salary of $100, you have a budget. His back markers include David Reagan and finally Landon Castle. That brought his roster to exactly $100. What do you think? Do we see a winner out of one of those today, do you think, Brandon?
I think Kevin Harvick and Brad Keselowski are the two to watch. Gordon could be. Gordon's run great all year, but he's just had some bad luck at times. My fantasy roster is very similar to his, and it's kind of fitting because his Sidekick Spoilers team is leading our league, and I am right behind him. I'm about 80 points behind him, so I'm watching him. We do have our two big guns are the same. I've had Harvick and Keselowski most of the year as well. But instead of Gordon, I'm going with Dale Jr. And my two lower guys, I got Michael Annette, the rookie who's done pretty well this year, and Josh Wise, who's also – I don't know if he's a rookie, but he's driving a lower team that does pretty well from time to time. I'm not a big fan of his David Reagan pick there. David Reagan has not showed anything this year. He did win a race last year at Talladega in a bit of a fluke, but he did win. They haven't done anything this year. Him or David Gillian, his teammate.
Repeatedly. If I remember correctly, his Talladega win was as a result of he did find his drafting partner and Gilliland in that previous race, which you would need at a course like Talladega, where you do have pack racing and drafting. But you're right. I mean, I'm going to do a shameless plug here. The Sidekicks picks this week just happened to be my exact roster from last week on my Road Rage 400 team, which actually did win that race. And that Harvick, Keselowski, Gordon trio put me in the front, and I essentially stayed out front the whole race. So I found it interesting in review when I looked at it. I said, wait a second, Harvick, Keselowski, Gordon, geez, David Reagan, Castle, let me go back. And I did check, and I noticed where. Now, that could be complete happenstance because no discredit, like yourself, Sidekick knows NASCAR. So yes. I don't mean to discredit him in any way, but I did find it rather amusing that, in fact, when I went back, I said, holy crow. And that would be me. That's how lucky I got because mm-hmm. I'm essentially pretty terrible at this
side of it. But. At this point in the season, your Road Rage team's fifth in the standings. That's not terrible. You should have some pride with that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's been fun, and again, we all have 10 races to go, folks. So if you're into it, we encourage you to follow along and join us in our fantasy quest. I mean, heck, my whole life's a fantasy, Brandon. I mean, between this and fantasy football, that's what I get up for in the morning.
That's today, too, fantasy football today, everybody. Hey, just so our audience knows, from time to time on this, you will hear Sidekick be on with Uncle Mark as a co-host as well. So it's not just going to be us all the time. We'll have some random or some alternating co-hosts. So you'll get to hear Sidekick give his unique spin on NASCAR as well.
Oh, without a doubt. And much like yourself, he brings a unique and fun flavor and his own experience. You know, not unlike what you're sharing. He, I'm sure, could share some NASCAR experience, having been there to witness it in person, perhaps some NHRA experience. So, wow. You know what? We've just about covered it, Brandon.
Yeah, we did. We did a pretty good job.
I think we did a pretty nice job. Once again, folks,
the only thing we need to do is be a little better with the phone numbers, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it either, so you pointed that out. So
I'm going to put it out there. Again, for them, this is our fledgling, our premier broadcast. I did not really anticipate, Brandon, perhaps you would agree, that we would get live callers this morning. But through promotion, this will be available on archive. You can listen to it at your leisure. We'll make sure to put it out there through our Facebook page. Folks, keep it in mind, the phone number to reach us going forward on any given Sunday morning, 347-826-9964 allows you to climb in, pick up the phone. You can give us a call. As Brandon said, we are here, doing the Race Trim Motorsports Hour. Brandon is involved in the mix. I am involved in the mix. We will hopefully have Sidekick, our trusty Sidekick, involved in the mix. Of course, Frat House Mike is always invited and will be part of the mix, chatting all things motorsports, all things gearhead.
We'll hear from Frat House Mike when John Force wins. I can pretty much guarantee it there.
Yeah, I would agree.
He jumps out of his chair when Force is racing, and it's good to watch. It's enjoyable.
Absolutely
he gets a lot of enjoyment out of the NHRA as well as NASCAR, but I think he almost likes NHRA a little better if I had a pick between them for him.
I would agree with you. I think he does. And we here, you and I and Fred House Mike, will be probably checking in on those NHRA finals today, right?
Yep. Football, NASCAR, NHRA, we'll be watching it all here at Fred House. And one more thing for our Blog Talk listeners who happen to stumble upon our show. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, we have a whole radio network. Go to Facebook and like Frat House Sports. Frat House Sports with a space in between each word. You'll get a whole schedule for all of our shows. We have our anchor show, Frat House Sports Show, which is a live show on Thursday evenings at 7 o'clock. We're going to do a football show this week. Go to the Facebook page, hit like, and you'll see all of our broadcast schedules, including this show and many others.
Good stuff, Brandon. We're about out of time, folks. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to chatting with you again next week. Give us a call, 347-826-996. And that'll be next week, 11 a.m. Brandon, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, and I'll meet you upstairs. We'll start tuning into football.
You got it. Can't wait.